Worship at St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church in Ottawa on Sunday, January 14th, 2024, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. My name is Gary Vandermeer and I'm the rector of St. John's. Welcome to this adapted version of Sunday worship hosted by me and by St. John's ministry intern, Karen McBride. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the book of Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am going to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because of his sons, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let nothing of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God."
A reading from the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May I speak to you in the name of God, the Creator, who loves us. Amen. Let's imagine that you decided you would like to spend more time with God. Now, that could be a New Year's resolution, in which case here we are at January 14th, 2 weeks in, where New Year's resolutions often fall away, and maybe that's why people don't do them as much anymore. Or Lent is exactly 1 month away, beginning on February 14th. Maybe that could be a discipline for Lent, that you would spend more time with God and you have some time to get your head around how you would go about it. We could ask each other this: how do you like to spend time with God? I think many of you would say that it is by coming to church, that we spend time with God in community. Let me offer one about spending time with God by yourself. I find it helpful to sit quietly and ask God to show me what I need to see. It works very well with a cup of coffee in your hand in a coffee shop and looking out the window. And maybe nothing will come to me right away unless I have my notebook in hand to remind me. But often just that openness means that at some point later in the day, something will come rushing into my mind and I'll realize, yes, that is something I need to do. Another possibility that people often have is that they would like to spend more time with God by reading the Bible more. And then comes the question of how would you go about that? Personally, I recommend the Sunday scriptures. We've just read them. You have a bulletin. You can take it home and read them again. We've talked about them and thought about them and prayed with them, and they are rich with possibilities. Some people like to find a daily Bible reading schedule, of which there are many online. But I know there are many people who prefer to do that random thing where you have a Bible and you just open it to whatever page it opens to. I think that's actually the hardest one. And if you do this one, I would wish for you that you would always open it to readings like these ones that we have had today, which are full of encounter and possibility. Or maybe, to get rid of the random quality, just stick a bookmark in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and another one in John chapter 1 and enjoy these ones for a while. But if you decide you'd like to stay with random encounter, here's what I think might happen. It will be baffling, because context is everything. It will be complicated, because the values of the time in which the story was written might be different from what we think and understand for ourselves. It might be negative, because you might make assumptions without reading the story and knowing the history behind it. And maybe most importantly, you might not see an obvious connection between what you read and your own journey. That's where these texts for today are good. They are about encounter with God. Now, there's more to life than that first encounter, but let's go with encounter and see where it takes us. I learned a new word for encounter, or I relearned it, over the course of the Christmas holiday. Maybe you have this practice, as I have with my friends and family, that we would watch some of those Christmas movies over the holiday times. This year I saw Die Hard for the first time. I'm better late than never, I guess, but I'm going to enter the fray and say that was not a Christmas movie. It was a movie with a Christmas tree in the background, and you can go ahead and argue with me about that. But I also saw again another one that I've really enjoyed called The Holiday. The Holiday is a romantic comedy. It's about two women who are unlucky in love. They are played by Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet. One is in Los Angeles and the other is in England. And they want to escape their unlucky love lives, and they go onto a website called homeexchange.com. And they decide that they will try to be away from their home over the Christmas holiday. In the conversation that happens between them over email online, the American woman says, "Are there any men in your town?" And the English woman says, "Absolutely none." And the American woman says, "Let's do it." And so they trade places. The character that comes to Los Angeles, who's played by Kate Winslet, moves into a lovely Beverly Hills home, and she's out walking, enjoying the gorgeous weather. And as she's walking, she sees an elderly man walking with a walker and looking obviously confused. She goes out to speak to him, helps him find his way home, and discovers that he is a famous retired movie director. And he tells her about romantic comedies and about the movies that he has created over his career. He says there's a moment where two people meet, and he calls it a meet cute. He even gives an example. He says, let's say that there are two people in a clothing store, and one of them picks the one half of an outfit and the other picks the other half, and then they realize it goes well together, and that begins their conversation. Of course, this movie is a romantic comedy and they both fall in love, but I went away from it thinking about meet cute moments. In fact, they came into my mind so quickly that I thought, I could write a book of short stories called Meet Cute about all kinds of scenarios where people meet each other. But then I went a little bit further and I thought, you know, what if meeting God is a meet cute moment? Because in that case, our readings today are about meet cute. Samuel encountering God as he sleeps is a meet cute. Nathaniel meeting Jesus is a meet cute. They are first encounters that might seem ordinary but become significant in a life-changing way. Now, not all of life is a meet cute. And with Nathaniel, we know nothing more about him. He appears in this story and we never hear of him again. We might imagine that he was there for the feeding of the 5,000 or the Sermon on the Mount, or that he abandoned Jesus along with the other disciples when Jesus was on the cross. Samuel, on the other hand, we know a lot about Samuel. He goes on from this moment of encountering God to become the prophet of Israel. He is the one who tries to persuade Israel that a king is a flawed concept and that the best king is God. He is the one who gives in and anoints Saul as king. He is the one who rejects Saul on behalf of God and tells Saul. He is the one who secretly anoints David as king. He is also such a prophet workaholic that his own sons disrespect God, just as Eli's sons have done, as we heard in this reading. Now, not all of life is a meet cute, as we encounter in the life of Samuel. By analogy, there's the difference between the wedding and the marriage. Yes, it's a lovely wedding, but there is the reality of life together. And in encounter with God, there's spending time with God as your whole life. And that's what this idea of preparing for Lent or a New Year's resolution would be. How do we spend more time with God as our life? The meet cute that starts your relationship with God is special, but there's more. Some of your time with God will be hard going. You will be dealing with hard things. If we say to God, "Show me what I need to notice," we can also expect that we will be shown hard parts of our life, and then they're right before us for us to figure, how are we going to handle this? I want to commend community as the way we handle some of the hard things. We read as community to get a sense of the readings together. We pray as community, and our prayers give us a perspective so that we are not too self-absorbed and we remember to pray for others. We support each other as community to the extent that we are ready to let our walls down a bit so others know when our life is hard. Now, community is also hard. There's a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, also included in this service, where Paul is trying to bring community back on course. They need their individual prayers to balance out the groupthink that has happened among them. And there is also another reading which seems to be a great one to me for sitting with God as the course of your whole life. And it is Psalm 139, which gives the assurance that God has made you and knows you, that God sees your struggles, and that God is with you in all of them. Now, these two readings, the meet-cute readings, Samuel and Nathaniel, show that God really is calling you to the life that you have been given and to living it faithfully. And now I will read from Psalm 139 as the life journey of knowing that God is with us in all that we do. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest depths of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them among my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This psalm is a prayer for our openness to God as the course of our life, spending time with God. It has beautiful phrases. It also has that challenging section where the writer wants to slay the wicked. And this might be for us holding up a mirror that there are times when we will even offer an unworthy prayer. But it shows the desire that our whole life would be a journey with God. There's the encounter, and then there's all of our life. Thanks be to God. Amen. with the prayers of the people, we will be using Praying Without Ceasing, a resource of the Anglican Church of Canada. Let us pray using the response, Holy One, shine upon us and hear us. Everlasting light of creation, may your people in all the world worship in spirit and in truth. Holy One, shine upon us and hear us. May the Church discover that unity which is your will. Holy One, shine upon us and hear us. May the nations of the earth seek after the ways that make for peace. Holy One, shine upon us and hear us. May the whole creation be set free to enjoy the glorious liberty of your children. Holy One, shine upon us and hear us. May all who with Christ have entered the shadow of death rest in peace and rise in glory. Holy One, shine upon us and hear us. Perfect light of revelation, as you shone in the life of Jesus, whose epiphany we celebrate, so shine in us and through us that we may become beacons of truth and compassion, enlightening all creation with deeds of justice and mercy. Amen.